A perfect example of Venetian Gothic architecture, the palace was an exercise in understated elegance. With none of the turrets or spires normally associated with the palaces of France or England, it was conceived as a massive rectangular prism, which provided for the largest possible amount of interior square footage in which to house the Doge's substantial government and support staff. Viewed from the ocean, the palace's massive expanse of white limestone would have been overbearing had the effect not been carefully muted by the addition of porticos, columns, a loggia, and quatrefoil perforations. Geometric patterns of pink limestone ran throughout the exterior, reminding Langdon of the Alhambra in Spain. As the boat pulled closer to the moorings, Ferris seemed concerned by a gathering of people in front of the palace. A dense crowd had gathered on a bridge, and all of its members were pointing down a narrow canal that sliced between two large sections of the Doge's palace. "What are they looking at?" Ferris demanded, sounding nervous.
"Il Ponte dei Sospiri," Sienna said. "A famous Venetian bridge."
Langdon peered down the cramped waterway and saw the beautifully carved, enclosed tunnel that arched between the two buildings. "The Bridge of Sighs," he thought, recalling one of his favorite boyhood movies, A Little Romance, which was based on the legend that if two young lovers kissed beneath this bridge at sunset while the bells of St. Mark's were ringing, they would love each other forever. The deeply romantic notion had stayed with Langdon his entire life. Of course, it hadn't hurt that the film also starred an adorable 14-year-old newcomer named Diane Lane, on whom Langdon had immediately developed a boyhood crush. A crush that, admittedly, he had never quite shaken. Years later, Langdon had been horrified to learn that the Bridge of Sighs drew its name not from sighs of passion, but instead from sighs of misery. As it turned out, the enclosed walkway served as the connector between the Doge's palace and the Doge's prison, where the incarcerated languished and died, their groans of anguish echoing out of the grated windows along the narrow canal. Langdon had visited the prison once, and was surprised to learn that the most terrifying cells were not those at water level, which often flooded, but those next door, on the top floor of the palace proper, called piombi, after their lead-tiled roofs, which made them torturously hot in the summer and freezing cold in the winter. The great lover Casanova had once been a prisoner in the piombi. Charged by the Inquisition with adultery and spying, he had survived 15 months of incarceration, only to escape by beguiling his keeper.
"Sta attento!"
Maurizio shouted to the pilot of a gondola as their limo slid into the berth the gondola was just vacating. He had found a spot in front of the Hotel Danieli, only 100 yards from St. Mark's Square and the Doge's palace. Maurizio threw a line around a mooring post and leaped ashore as if he were auditioning for a swashbuckling movie. Once he had secured the boat, he turned and extended a hand down into the boat, offering to help his passengers out. "Thanks," Langdon said as the muscular Italian pulled him ashore. Ferris followed, looking vaguely distracted and again glancing out to sea. Sienna was the last to disembark. As the devilishly handsome Maurizio hoisted her ashore, he fixed her with a deep stare that seemed to imply that she'd have a better time if she ditched her two companions and stayed aboard with him. Sienna seemed not to notice.
"Grazie, Maurizio,"
she said absently, her gaze focused on the nearby Doge's palace. Then, without missing a stride, she led Langdon and Ferris into the crowd.